It's quite difficult to preach after testimony like that. But if you're here this morning and you think that God is dead and that it's just a religion and it's just a thing that your parents taught you to go to to go to church on Sundays, then you've just heard that it's a lot more than that. It's definitely not coming here sitting and wasting our time when we could be doing other things. We are here because we serve a living God. Amen. Now, what I want to share on this morning is, our society, I believe, is lacking a few vital ingredients. We grow up with microwaves and 2-minute noodles and internet. And if your internet's slow, then you get a faster internet. Everything must be quick, compacted, now. And you can look at a lot of sermons that are being preached, and it's all about God coming with a breakthrough now and with the word now. And they must always, and there's another thing that has creeped in, and I was so blessed by Henny last week. Henny being here and just listening to what he says. Henny is the dean of the Bible school. So Henny is so full of the word, and whatever he speaks is really from God because it's based on God's word. But I was so blessed by what he said. One of the things he said is sometimes we look for a fresh word. People, and there's this mentality that we only serve God, or if we serve him for 2 months, we need a fresh word. Otherwise, it's not fresh enough anymore. And I think it's because of this mentality. It's this society that we live in, that everything must happen and must be quick. But there's an aspect in the word which I want to talk about today, and it's called diligence. Now, diligence has got nothing to do with anything quick. And just by the way, if I tell you this sentence, I want you to fill in the gap. Swakopmund is a what city or town? Now you shouldn't be spiritual now. Oh, who said holiday? Yes. Swakopmund is a holiday town. That's what many people think. I've got this friend, he lived here. He was saved and he came here and his life fell apart. And he went back to Windhoek, got saved again. And then when he came back for holidays, he said the moment he wants to drive in this town, he starts getting afraid because he's so afraid that what has happened to him here will happen to him again. So Swakopmund, people said, is a holiday town. And sometimes it's very nice, this holiday town and the holiday vibe. But spiritually, we shouldn't take a holiday. That's all I want. And there's a tendency for, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone here, but there is a spiritual, there's a tendency, there's a stronghold in this town that would want us to relax everywhere. And I love relaxing, surface relax. That's what we do when we surf. We relax there at the back. Why do you always, there's lots of waves. Oh, where am I going now? But anyway, there's lots of waves, but you always see us surfing there together, not one here and there, because we chat. We relax. So relaxing is good, but I just want you to be aware of some of the spiritual things that happen in this town. And one is it wants us to become slack in certain areas. And the one area I just want to talk about today is in God's word. So I mentioned the topic here is word diligence, or to be diligent in God's word. Now, every night, so this is not a wow sermon. It's not a fresh revelation from some scripture. This is a very old revelation, but I believe we need to hear it. Amen? First scripture there is Proverbs 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor. The hand of the diligent will rule. Now, if you think of the word diligent, if you look at the definition from where that word comes from, it means diligence as if you want to dig a trench. This is what it literally means. Now, all of you know, if you okay, now we're thinking of excavators. It's quick to dig a trench. But you must think in context where this comes from. To dig a trench, and if you're in Namibia, my goodness, there's rocks and stones everywhere. It's not a quick thing. You know, it's the hand of the diligent. So if you think of that, digging that trench, or another example that is used is to mine gold, to get gold out of the earth. That mining process, it is not an easy thing. You know, where's all our chemical engineers? All those processes that you need to go through and the blasting and getting it out. Diligent, that word diligent refers to that. Digging a trench, putting in the hours, sweating, mining the gold, getting it out of there, processing it. Wonderful gold. But this scripture says the hand of the diligent will rule. Now, sometimes we preach this thing, and I believe in God's breakthroughs and all that stuff, but it's almost, you know, you get these emails. I get them every day. In the beginning, I got excited. Now I don't. Dear sir, you have won 32 billion Great British pounds. If you forward this to, didn't Aaron John got a message like this morning on his cell phone? You know? So we, oh, yes. But you know, getting rich or getting wealth simply doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Getting wealth, spiritual wealth, emotional wealth, anything gained in life, yes, God gives it for free. But there is an aspect of digging a trench. You know, there's an aspect of putting in the hours and getting it. And I just want to talk about that this morning. And we're talking about God's word. Yes, but let me not go too far. Some of the other definitions for that word diligent is also determination. You know, being determined. And this scripture says that the diligent will rule, not the other one that wants the blessings. Prays one little prayer, gets a prosperity sermon, and he's rich tomorrow and it's got all that. No, oh, come and pray for my marriage. Amen. Wake up. You know? Yes, okay, we'll pray for your marriage. But if you treat your wife again like this, you know what? Maybe you must just stop doing that. Maybe you must just make a tea when she's pregnant for the first 3 months. And she's not, what is nauseous. Maybe that's just what you must do. I did that. It was difficult. But at least I wake up. At least I wake up a lot easier in the morning than my wife. Praise God for that anointing on my life. The Lord knew He had to give me that. So, diligent. It's just getting your hands dirty a little bit. And I just think that especially now, I don't think, I know that in this festive season that we're going in, this slackness, I will op jou kom spring soos 'n kombers en nat kombers. And we must just be diligent against this thing. There are certain things that happen in our lives and we're in a crisis again. And then maybe a good word for some people would be at that time is, okay, but now, you know, I don't have a 2-minute answer for you now. But now be diligent in studying the Word of God. Be diligent in your quiet time with God. Just put in the hours and see what you reap. Amen. Psalm 12 verse 6. It speaks of God's word. I'm speaking about God's word. We must be diligent in studying God's word. And let me stop there and just say something. But, you know, in our church, we must just make sure that we base everything that we do on God's word. So yes, in our small groups, we don't tend to spend too much time on the word and so on. And I'll explain that right at the end, which is probably necessary. But we must just make sure that the word is always somewhere there in the mix. If it's not in the mix, I'm worried. Psalm 12 verse 6, and the words of the Lord, God's word, are flawless, like silver, purified in a crucible, like gold refined 7 times. Remember, I spoke about diligence, and it's like mining gold. It's going through that process. Now, this scripture says that God's word is flawless. It's purified. It's refined 7 times. And I've seen in my life, now I'm going ahead again, But you know, sometimes we don't always understand everything that's in the word there. But sometimes you must just soak yourself with God's word, even if you don't understand it. Always. Bible school is an add-on of the word that you already have, the word that you already study and read. So that Bible school, yes, it's not only Bible school, also helps you, but it amplifies, it gives you, helps you with the revelation of God's word. But Bible school without me putting in the hours and reading the word means nothing. Amen. Isaiah 5 verse 7 to 12. You know, if you look at, sometimes you hear it over, I don't know, the radio or whatever, that the Americans, and that's one, I'm going to bless the Americans now, so don't worry, is that they're fighting because the Bible and the Ten Commandments are being taken out of their constitution and out of schools and out of those things. And you know what? I get so upset with this. And you know, our lives is a constant fight against minority groups trying to change us, trying to liberate us. Minority groups are doing that in America. We can be happy that we still have abortion banned in this country. But the people normally fighting, now they're starting to fight, for goodness sakes, I don't know why, to legalize prostitution. But you know what? The people that fight for those little issues are minority groups. You ask everybody in Namibia who will say we must legalize prostitution, 10% will maybe say so, the 90%. And then we get laws changed by the minority groups. I don't understand it. But anyway, in American society, I still believe the reason why they are so blessed, you know, we can say what we want, but they've got so much money, they're just blessed. It's because of the founding fathers of that nation was based on the Bible, was based on Ten Commandments, and those things were in their society like landmarks. It's something that we live towards, something that we esteem highly. And this scripture says, it speaks about that landmark thing. And the Word of God should be that in our lives. It should be that thing that we hang on to. But if you don't have that thing, this is what happens. If you don't have that landmark, Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel I make known what is sure. The princes of Judah are like those who remove a landmark. I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked by what? By human precept. So everything, I don't know how one should bring up children anymore. I guess I'll find out next year. But how, with this constant bombardment of magazines and internet and TV shows where there's no godliness nowhere. You know, now on National Geographic, they've got all these weird and programs about Jesus and where did he come from and his disciples. Just wacky nonsense based on nothing. But because it's on National Geographic, the whole nation sees it and everybody believes it. But what I want to say, or the Bible, if we want to teach, they won't show it. Because we're crazy and we just believe blindly in something. And it's so much nonsense, actually. But this scripture says, because they willingly walked in human precept. And if you remove the word from a family, from your own life, from a society, broken and oppressed, that's what will happen. And the word of God is supposed to fulfill that for us. You know what? And one can become very charismatic, you know, and then I don't know how to put this. And you know, when you prophesy and all that stuff. But prophecies and words of wisdom and knowledge and all these very cool but sometimes very wacky charismatic things that gets done in the name of God must be tested against the word. We do believe in prophecy, but some of these prophecies are just off. You know, they're just not true. So, you know, even that, even a charismatic church must be grounded, anchored by word. Amen. if you don't understand or read the word of God, you will lack understanding and knowledge. And if you lack understanding and knowledge, they do not know, no knowledge, nor do they understand, no understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. I mean, look at the world. That's what we're seeing. I said, you are gods. All of you are children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. So this scripture is a, oh my word, I must start being nice now. Everybody's, but it's a grave prospect for those that will walk for those that will walk without knowledge or understanding. It says your life will fall apart. This is what the scripture says. And I've seen that, you know, then we get to issues like abortion and, ugh, for goodness sakes, who knows? There are so many issues nowadays. But things that the Bible doesn't write, is abortion legal? No, you don't find it in there. But I've seen in my life, if I read the word chapter by chapter, I won't understand everything, but my week works out somehow. Because somehow this word works here. It's like it goes into my spirit and my soul and it starts doing things and life works stable. I remember, it's one of the things I'll always remember about my father, who was in a conservative church. Didn't believe gifts of the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. But you know what? Three of us children, us for serving God, well, hopefully with all our hearts. But we're serving God because of my father. And you know, one of the things, two of the things that he did, the one thing is he prayed. And I could see him pray for us. And other things, he read the word. And it's not like he had to make a show and say, oh, look, children, check, I'm reading the word. I could see him. He read the word and our house was based on that. That's why we had stability in the house. And he knew nothing about gifts of the Holy Spirit. But yet it was stable. But then you get some houses praying in tongues. But my goodness, it's unstable, young. This is a boot for the old tzumak. Because it's all prophecies and all this stuff, but nothing is based. Just that little bit of diligence. To Timothy 3 verse 6. Are you enjoying what I'm saying? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, this is us, we're the men and the women of God, may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That word there that says, but now, you know, Henny does this better than anyone could. He tells you how good the word is and how long it has lasted. So ask Henny, don't ask me. He's got all these facts. But scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that refers to when God breathed into Adam and gave him life. That inspiration, that God's breath, life. And all of scripture, we believe, is inspired by God. In other words, it's not a novel. It's not a science fiction thing that we're reading. It is alive. And it's alive to do what? To equip me, to make me perfect. That's what it says. To thoroughly equip me for every good work. And if we can, you know, praise God for our nation. But if the Bible can be like the landmark in a nation. But we now people always have to question everything about the word. But you know what? There's no book that has got more authenticity that you can test and prove than any other book that has been as old as the Bible is. Nothing else. And people still want to question the Bible and is it true and is it, but they haven't read anywhere, made any effort to see how authentic is the Bible. They always want to tell us how wrong we are and it's irrelevant and all that stuff. Yet I read this. There's more proof than Jesus Christ lived. Proof. Not thinking, wishing, hoping, than that Napoleon lived. Did Napoleon live? So there's more proof, like that you can check that Jesus Christ lived than Napoleon. But everybody questions him. Mark my mull. That's all that I can say. Proverbs 2 verse 1 to 6. So if you read that book, what's it called, Hari, from Bible school? More than a carpenter. Okay, it's quite technical. I like it. But it's all right. But it says that, so we know Jesus lived. Now, either he did what he did, and he was who he said he was, or he was a liar, or he was crazy. But now, I don't think he was a liar or crazy, so then I guess he did what he did. Proverbs 2 verse 1 to 6. My son, our relationship with the word. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver. Remember what I said? That diligence is like digging a trench or mining for gold. Putting in the effort to try and get that gold out of Ivan. You know how gold is purified. This apparently is not easy. It's becoming moeilijk. If you seek her as silver, what? Knowledge and understanding. It speaks about it. Understanding and wisdom. And search for her as for her hidden treasures. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. For his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Let me go up one. If you seek her as silver. So our relationship with the word, and I probably know because I've fallen for this trap as well. No, not probably. That's why I can preach it. But sometimes we read God's word and we get revelation. And you know what? Then we try and live off that revelation and what we had there for like years. And it's not like we have to get new revelation or new stuff. But the input from God's word can't be like 10 years back when I did foundation, when I did Bible school 3, and now I'm still living on that stuff. No. I need to constantly seek her as silver. I need to constantly put in the hours and have a relationship with God's words. I said it when we had our Bible school graduation, which I really liked. It was amazing. It was great to see all those people. But that your revelation of what God wants to do in your life and what where he wants to take you and use you and what all that stuff can only be based on a foundation of your knowledge of God's word. How much you know, how strong that foundation is, the more revelation you'll get, the more you'll live in liberty. But if it's like this big, it's how much you'll receive. God can't really reveal to us, you know, the deep things of his word, if it's not based on just the pure knowledge of knowing his word. It must be based on that. So I've seen in my life, I remember like in the beginning of this year, I started reading Leviticus. My word, that's a boring book, but it was so nice. And I started preaching for 3 weeks out of Leviticus. Because my base was expanded. Amen. People, I love you. Where am I now? Let me just look at a few. Aaron John, I think my scriptures are a bit dear McCarthy, but anyway, Ephesians 5 verse 26. What does God's word do to us? Just a few examples. Ephesians 5 verse 26. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word. There is a cleansing that happens in our lives if we read the word of God. We sometimes think it's just this physical thing happening. But you know what? When you read that word, when it goes in, it starts washing us. It makes us clean. It purifies us. It gets stuff out. You know, if you struggle with a certain sin that is habitual or whatever, you know, don't run and, okay, you can do that and ask for prayer and so on. The best advice I could give you is start reading. And read Leviticus. And try and stay awake. But just read God's word, because it's not just a physical exercise we're doing. Yes, it's physical. You have to sit down and you have to read. But it is a supernatural, spiritual thing happening when that word goes into you. It starts cleansing you. I always say, like, when you, yeah, once again, if you struggle with sin, just focus on your relationship with God. Get closer to Him, because the closer you get to Him, you don't want to be involved with sin. It's like a relationship. Now, let me just think of my example so I don't make a mess of it. But some people would ask me sometimes, yeah, but why don't you want to go out and party and do this stuff? It's like, nice. The best example I could use them is, I don't want to have an affair because I love my wife. I don't want to have an affair. I don't have a desire that, because that affair would mess up my relationship with my wife. That's why I don't have an affair. Why don't I go to those places and do those things? Because it would mess up my relationship with God. I don't want to. It's not a thing of, please print me a list, email everybody in church a list of what we can do and what we can't do. No. You listen to the Holy Spirit. He tells you what you can do. He tells you what you can do. The bottom line is, does it take you away from God? Or does it, you know, that's the thing that must guard us. How did I get to that? Anyway, God's word is alive. Hebrews 4 verse 12. The word of God is living and powerful. John 6 verse 63. The word that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The word of God is living and powerful. It changes our lives if we spend time with it, if we have a relationship with it. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. Let's just see where. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcome it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which is also effectively works in you who believe. Sorry, people, if that was in Afrikaans, I would have read it without any problems. But it effectively works in you who believe. So I want to say to you, sometimes if you don't understand what you're reading, it's fine. But just read it. Because at least there's something working in you. There's an effectively working process that you will go through. So you don't have to understand everything. When I took Henny back to the airport, he said, he agreed with me. That's amazing. No, but he said, if out of everything that he taught that weekend, if you could just start reading your Bible as a storybook, then that's great. Then that's cool. If you only remember that, then that's fine. But you know what? Sometimes we read and we need a word from God. Psalm 23. Proverbs. No, we don't. You can't read like that. You need to read something from the beginning to understand it. I mean, that's how one has a relationship with God. Proverbs 4 verse 20 to 22. Everybody still here with me? My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from you, from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Health. God's word is healing. It's got healing power, I almost want to say. Sometimes you must just read a scripture over someone's life and the healing will come, because it's not just a word. It's God's word. It's God breathed, inspired. Psalm 119 verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. God's word gives victory over sin. Like I said just a while ago, if you struggle with stuff, just indulge in God's word. And that sin will flee from you. Honestly. Stop trying to fight it with your 10-point plan or whatever. No. Just spend time in God's word. That cleansing will happen. I promise you. It works. Ephesians 5, verse 25 to 27. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's what I read. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, we believe always. We're saying we're in the end time, the last times, and the, you know, the last page of the last day of the last paragraph or whatever. But God says here in this scripture that as we walk closer to Him, God wants to purify His church more and more and more. And just the scripture before that, He speaks about His word. So we must just get this mentality that, I don't know, this, it's, maybe it's a bit of a charismatic mentality that it needs to happen or will happen without God's word. God's word will be center of what happens. God's word will be center. His purifying process in our lives happens through His word. And God wants to make us without spot or wrinkle. And the word does that. And in the last scripture, here in John, 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Aye. Sorry, Aaron John. But Ruan knows. Yes, sir. Aaron John fought long for his off weekends. But are you making notes, Aaron John? 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. It's that word, diligent, again. That is actually all I have to say this morning. But the last slide. That white one. No, not that white one. Werke. Yay. You see what I did? I did promotion for Bible school. So you must read there now. Can you read? You'll see this in the newspapers, in the Namib Times, even in the Republican and the Namibian, maybe only once or twice in them. But I just did promotion for a Bible school. That's all I did. We are starting next year in Swakopmund. Where should I stand? With the second year Bible school, and we're doing a first year Bible school. So, and Windhoek has the same. So if you know people in Windhoek, I think they will only have first year. Who Daniel? They also have first and second year. And it's an interdenominational Bible school. Meaning, anybody that says they're a Christian can come to, well, you can actually bring anybody there. Because if they're not Christians, they'll get saved. Amen. So our Bible school is starting when? 3rd of February. It will be in this venue. And it is between 6 and 8. And so if you want to register for Bible school, you can email the swakop@chofaonline.org, or you just speak to anybody that has done Bible school. But I said it to, I think, the elders on, I don't know who I told it to, but I really believe that in our church we've got I just see the potential in young people, not especially, but the young people coming in. But I've also realized that without God's word in our lives, without doing the Bible school, without studying God's word, I could not be doing what I'm doing now. So I just want to promote the Bible school and want to say that it's life-changing. But it is also, I want to say this, it will change you as much as you expect and prepare for it. Because if you come with a critical heart, guess what you'll receive? Nothing. But if you come with a heart where you want to receive from God's word and just hear, you'll receive a lot. It works like that with anything in church. We can be very critical about everything that we do, yeah? Nothing is perfect, but at least it's there. So I just want to promote the Bible school. And honestly, if you know anybody in another church in this town, promote it. Tell them what it has done in your life, how it has changed your life. If you haven't done it, hopefully you'll do it next year. But I was just felt strongly to share that this week, so that we, because we sometimes look for all these wonderful things to happen, but we neglect like just the hard yards. And the hard yards is God's word and spending time with God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Father, thank you that you've really blessed us this year in Bible school with all those, especially all those people from outside churches that came. And we just thank you, Father. I pray that they will sign up for second year as well. And Lord, I pray for Just that you will bless next year's Bible school, Father, that your word will be taught and that people will be equipped to go out and minister your word. Father, I pray that you will, for those that maybe don't have means to get to it or to make it, that you will provide a mean and a way. Father, I just pray that nothing will be out of condemnation. No condemnation. We don't live in condemnation. We don't live in fear. Father, I just pray that you would bless everyone here this morning that came here, that gave up their time to come here. And Lord, I pray that you will, that we will walk out of here with a desire to just read your word. And Father, I pray that that you will help us to enjoy it. Because sometimes it's a struggle to enjoy it. But I pray that you'll give us that ability and just the anointing, whatever you need to give us so that we can enjoy it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just want us to keep